Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats, a program dedicated to creating a legacy for your pets. Animal companions, your pets, your children, whatever you call them, they are dearly loved family members. As pet parents and animal lovers, we have an obligation to ensure their current and future well-being. Join estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, your host, every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturechannel.fm. Peggy explores the many alternatives available to help you provide for the future care of your pets. They love us unconditionally. Let's make sure we care and provide for them in every circumstance.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on naturechannel.fm. I'm your host. I'm Peggy Hoyt, and it's my pleasure to be with you today and each and every week. Each show, we try to discuss some element of planning for your pets to make sure that if something happens to you, that your pets are well cared for. We are happy to take questions during the show. You can always give us a call at 718-766-4996. That's 718-766-4996, or you can post your questions to our Facebook page at All My Children Wear Fur Coats, or you can find us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. So one of the questions that I get a lot when I'm working with families about protecting their pets from an estate planning perspective is, how much money should I leave for the benefit of my pets? And that's a very good question, but it's a question that is difficult to answer because every single person's situation is going to be different. So it seemed like in the last couple of weeks, I've just had a rush of people coming in to do planning for their pets. I planned for 5 cats in one household. I planned for 9 cats in another household. I planned for 4 dogs in another household. I planned for 27 horses in another household. And so you can just imagine, just from that variety of different families, that the monetary needs are going to be considerably different from one family to the next. Some people might say that cats cost less than dogs to take care of, and I think everybody I know would say that horses cost more than dogs and cats, probably even put together, to take care of. And so thinking about the money and how much we're going to leave for the benefit of our pets becomes really, really important. The other things that we need to think about in that regard have to do with, are we making gifts, outright gifts, or gifts in trust to whomever the pet caregivers are going to be? Are our pets going to permanent sanctuaries that are going to require a specific amount of money per pet? Are we trying to finance the ongoing operation of our home for the benefit of our pets? So lots and lots of considerations to think about. How much does it cost to take care of your pets today? So thinking about that and then extrapolating that into the future based on how long you think your pets might live, or any one pet might live individually, I think is really important. And I do have to say that one of the best ways to finance the long-term care of your pets is to think about using life insurance, a life insurance policy that you know is going to be in effect on the date of your death would be a great way to leave a legacy for your pets as part of an overall pet trust plan. You know, each week we talk about something a little bit different. So if you have questions about the monetary considerations related to your pets, I would invite you to call me either at this number, 718-766-4996, or you can reach out to me at my office or through our Facebook page or on Twitter. So I want to not short shrift the time that we have with our special guest today, and I would like to welcome Ralph DeMayo. Ralph is a lawyer like myself. He's a shareholder with Hopping Green and Sam's PA. He lives in Tallahassee, Florida. This is environmental, land use, administrative, health and safety, and animal law, with an emphasis in civil and administrative litigation. Welcome to the show, Ralph. We're really happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here, Peggy.
So one of the reasons that I invited Ralph to be on the show today is that I got to know Ralph from serving on the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee. And Ralph is our immediate past chair of the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee. And Ralph, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and then a little bit about your experience with the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee?
Yes, I would be happy to. Thank you. I have always been an animal lover since I was a child, always had pets. My parents encouraged it and just became really interested in animal welfare. Was always a member of a lot of animal welfare organizations in high school and in college. Initially started out my career as an English professor, then went to law school, but I always wanted to get back to animal law related subjects. And one of the things that I learned is that animal law really touches on so many practice areas, including environmental law, administrative law, health and safety law, because when you're talking about animal law, you're talking about life, in this case, animal life, and that's where the connection comes for me, and that's where my interest lies.
Well, I can see that, like, you know, you and I both started out doing something different, ended up in law school, and then let our law school experience bring us kind of full circle back to our true love, which is animals. And like you, I agree that one of the things that makes animal law so interesting is the fact that it does touch almost every area of legal practice, from criminal law to entertainment law to family law to estate planning law to disability planning to guardianship. You can probably help me think of some others. Landlord-tenant. Real estate law, absolutely.
Yeah.
How many
really
members?
Does.
Yeah. How many members do we have now on the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee?
I believe we have over 100 now, about 120, if I'm not mistaken, which is great because, you know, previous years we had around 35, 50, 75. It's grown tremendously. I may mention that the most exciting development now is that we received approval earlier this year from the Florida Bar Board of Governors, who governs the actions of bar committees, to become the newest section of the Florida Bar, which is significant because it's a much bigger undertaking and it gives us quite a platform in order to continue to promote animal law in Florida. And what's particularly gratifying is over 1,000 active members of the Florida Bar signed a petition saying that they would be interested in becoming a member of the new section.
And that's just incredible. And for folks that are listening that may not be familiar with bar structure, to be a committee is one thing, but to be a section is something entirely different. It really gives animal law the recognition that it deserves at the bar level, and it means that we have a lot more flexibility as a section and an ability to attract more and more members to animal law. And I think both Ralph and I agree that the reason so many people are interested is because of the way that animal law touches so many other areas of the law.
That's right, Peggy.
So do you have any pets at your house today, Ralph?
I do. I have a small horse farm in North Leon County, not far from the Georgia border. And I've had horses and dogs and cats, and pretty much any kind of animal you can name, most of my life, as I mentioned. But frankly, my first love, and this goes back to when I was a child, is horses.
So that I was teasing with Ralph before the show started, just so our listeners are aware that I was looking at Ralph's bio on Twitter. And other than being an English professor, I told Ralph that he and I sound like we could be the same person. We're both lawyers. We're both writers. We're both animal rights advocates. We're both equestrians. We're both vegetarians. We both like motorcycles. We both are spiritual in our beliefs. And I honestly did not realize, Ralph, that we had that many things in common.
Nor did I, and that's wonderful. I'm glad to be a member of the same tribe.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your writing activities before we go to break.
Sure. Well, I've always had good writing skills and wanted to be a writer and started writing very young, even in grade school. And it seemed that the format that fit me best was poetry, so I started writing poems. And I wrote a lot of poems about a variety of subjects, including animals, and I was fortunate enough to have some excellent writing teachers at Stetson University in DeLand, where I went to undergraduate. And then I attended the University of Florida, was admitted into their creative writing program, the Master and Doctor of Fine Arts program, where I continued with my writing. And I studied children's literature, writing children's books, and short fiction and poetry. And I've had some works published in primarily university presses. And I guess my greatest claim to fame in the arts is I did win the Florida Poetry Contest back when I was in college, and that provided me a springboard to be admitted to University of Florida. I continue to write, but frankly, the writing I do now is more expository writing and legal writing, and I still write, creatively, but I do a lot more, I guess, because of my practice in the legal arena, and I also teach law.
Sure, and do you write poetry about animals? Does it ever include animals?
Yes, it does. Reflecting a lot of my interests, I've always been a fan of science fiction, and so one of my favorite writers, I'm sure your listeners will recognize, is Robert Heinlein, and he wrote a book called The Cat Who Walks Through Walls. And I always thought that was a cool concept. So I always gravitate towards literature that involves animals in some way, and I try to write about it as well, but perhaps maybe in a somewhat offbeat manner.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you mentioned something else that gives us yet another thing in common, which is that you went to Stetson as an undergrad.
Yes, I actually ended up getting my master's degree there, too, as well, and then I was in the doctoral program at Florida. I always tell people I'm a doctoral dropout because I ended up starting the work towards the dissertation and then went to law school. But I enjoyed my time at Stetson. It's a great school in DeLand, nice little town. And I'm from Miami originally, so it was an adjustment moving to a small town from a big city, as it was to move to Tallahassee. But I love it here, and having the ability to have some land and the farm has been great.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, I also am a Stetson undergrad, and I also have my master's degree from Stetson. So
wow.
For our listeners today, you're talking to twins, Peggy Hoyt and Ralph DeMeo, since we have a lot in common. And one of the things that we really do have in common is the passion that we have for animals and for animal advocacy. And that's what we're here to talk about today on the show. So you're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on natureschannel.fm. You can call in with your questions at 718-766-4996. You can post to our Facebook page at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. And you can also find us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. We're happy to take your questions. You can have a question for Ralph. You can have a question for myself. You can have a question about funding for your pet's estate plan to make sure that we have more than sufficient assets to make sure that our pets are being cared for long after we've left this planet. And we will look forward to seeing you and hearing from you when we get back in just a few moments.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on natureschannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
NatureChannel.fm. Amazing talk radio shows from gardening to animals, natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. NatureChannel.fm. It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Join the Horse's Heart and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stalls. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Serendipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Serendipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on natureschannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live and find archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on natureschannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Hello, welcome back. You're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on natureschannel.fm. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt. If you have questions today, please call us at 718-766 4996, or you can post your questions to our Facebook page at All My Children Wear Fur Coats or on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. Today we have special guest Ralph DeMayo with us. Ralph is an attorney and shareholder with Hopping Green and Sams PA, located in Tallahassee, Florida. He practices in environmental land use, administrative, health and safety, and animal law. He's also currently an adjunct professor of legal studies and environmental policy. Welcome back to the show, Ralph.
Thank you very much.
So tell our listeners a little bit about your activities as an adjunct professor and what it means to be a student of legal studies and environmental policy.
I'd be happy to. Thank you. I've been teaching my whole life. When I was at grammar school, I was a member of Future Teachers of America, and I wore a little blue ribbon and got made fun of a lot, and I still do when I tell people that. But I always love teaching. I love the education process. I think after 10 years, my family said, "Are you ever going to get a real job?" And so I guess I did with being a lawyer. But I love teaching. I have the privilege of teaching for over 25 years in the legal studies program at Tallahassee Community College, but also for the last 7 or 8 years, I've been an adjunct at Florida A&M University, where I teach environmental policy and environmental regulation. And then I've lectured all over the state at different universities, including the Florida State College of Law, which is my alma mater for law school, Barry University, FAMU College of Law in Orlando, And Jennifer Dietz, whom you know, a great attorney from Tampa on the Animal Law Committee, and I are going to be talking to some folks at Stetson College of Law. I'm very involved with the Student Animal Legal Defense Fund chapters around the state. My not-for-profit Pets Ad Litem, based in Tallahassee, actually helped found the Student Animal Legal Defense Fund chapter of Florida State College of Law, and we've been coordinating with chapters all over the state to deal with animal law issues.
So tell us a little bit about the Student Animal Legal Defense chapters, because I bet our listeners are not necessarily familiar with the Animal Legal Defense Fund and then what it means to be a student chapter.
Sure. The Animal Legal Defense Fund is a national organization. They may even be international. That's dedicated to animal welfare, and they have been very instrumental, a leader in involving law students. So they've gone around the country and helped establish and provide resources to students in law schools who want to be involved in animal law. So I believe all of the major accredited universities, colleges of law in Florida, have chapters of SALDIF. And the students get together pretty regularly and have guest lecturers and some of the other folks that have been on your show before, like Marcy LaHart and others, have participated in these lectures all over the state. Another one of our prominent Animal Law Committee members, whom you know, Greg Morton, has been involved with that organization for some time. And essentially it's just a great group that helps students understand the issues of animal law and promotes careers in animal law.
And one of my favorite sayings that they have, that particular organization, is, I think I even have a poster, it says, "We may be the only lawyers on earth where all of our clients are innocent."
I like that.
And not too many lawyers can say that, especially it seems like anymore in today's environment. But I just love that saying, and I have that poster in my dog room at my house, so that I'm reminded that even if I get aggravated with my dogs, they're still innocent.
True.
So you mentioned earlier that you have a small horse farm in Tallahassee. How many horses do you have and what kinds?
I've had a variety of horses over the years, our Arabian horses. As you probably know, they have a lot of personality and a lot of spunk, and a lot of horse lovers turn their nose up because they say you can't train them, but you just have to be patient with them, and then they'll reward you with tremendous loyalty, and they are beautiful animals. All of my horses are rescue horses. I work very closely with local horse rescue organizations, and I've probably had six or eight that have, you know, come across my farm. And I usually foster them and then find forever homes for them. But every once in a while, I fall in love with one and can't give them up. But my first love is Arabian horses. And I've also had thoroughbreds, taking them right off the track in some cases and taking care of them.
So how many horses do you have currently?
I actually have, as they say, in between horses right now.
Oh, okay.
But I'm actively looking for opportunities, and I'm sure I'll hear from a lot of different groups when they hear that. I work closely with the local one here called Triple R Horse Rescue, and the reason I'm in between is sadly after 25 years, the last two horses I had passed on, but I'm looking around for more.
Well, I'm certain I can help you with that as well, and I also am a big fan of Arabians and currently have an Anglo-Arab, which is, for those folks that don't know, a half-thoroughbred, half-Arabian, who is my primary riding horse. That's a rescue from Horse Protection Association of Florida out of Micanopy.
Great.
But it's funny you would say that about Arabians, how people are, because one of my girlfriends who rides a purebred Arabian, and we were out riding this weekend, and we actually had a big wreck because her horse is an Arabian. But she has this theory that Arabian horses are kind of like people who like to go to scary movies so that they can scare themselves. So that Arabians are kind of the same way. They like to be frightened by things as they go down the trail or just, you know, in their daily round. And that people who love Arabians are probably people who like that same kind of scary feeling.
Yes, it is.
Because you never know what they're going to do from 1 minute to the next.
You never know what they're going to do. But like I said, it's true with any animal, of course, but if you show them a lot of patience and love and kindness, they will reward it.
Well, and we had an amazing experience this weekend because we there were three of us riding, and we were taking a little respite in a creek, and everything seemed nice and calm until my horse rubbed her face on the back of another horse and managed to dislodge my rein clip. So suddenly I didn't have any reins. And I asked my girlfriend if she could take the rein out of my hand and lean over and clip it back onto my bridle for me. And in the process of doing that, she got herself a little off balance, and her Arabian, Kai, loves to take advantage of people when they're off balance. So she got a little bit off balance, and he decided to take that opportunity to spook. In the process of spooking, her stirrup came unloose from her saddle, and so she fell off. As she fell off, the saddle twisted itself so that it was actually underneath the horse and no longer on the top of the horse. And he took off like a bat out of you-know-what, running crazy. I mean, he absolutely was not thinking rationally. He was just losing his mind, as Arabians are known to do. And we were pretty sure we might not ever see him again. But fortunately, he and my horse have enough of a love affair that when he got about 300 yards away, he realized that she wasn't there with him, and he decided to come back dragging that saddle beneath him. So what could have been a really bad experience actually turned out to be something that we just get to tell a kind of funny story about.
Oh, yeah. We could probably exchange those stories all day.
So I was talking earlier in the program about putting aside money for the care of pets, and I'm sure that you would have our listeners know as well that, you know, it's not a small undertaking when you're planning for pets to make sure that there are sufficient resources to make sure that the pets are properly cared for.
That's true, and I'm so glad that you're doing that and you're talking about it. You know, it wasn't until a few years ago that pet trusts in Florida were actually considered legal or fully accepted by the courts, and now a lot more people are pursuing them, and I think it's very important for people to do so, and you make an excellent point that not just the establishment of the trust, but making sure that it's adequately funded, because let's face it, animals are expensive, and I think the kind of person that would want to care for their animal after they're gone would also want to make sure that sufficient resources were there. And you talk about, you know, the cost of a dog or a cat. Well, I don't need to tell you what horses cost.
Definitely not. And so you can imagine with my client who's planning for 27 horses that we've got quite a challenge on our hands in making sure that there's going to be sufficient resources to provide for their lifetime care.
That's an excellent example, by the way, of what we were talking about earlier about the number of substantive practice areas that animal law touches upon. A mutual friend of Jennifer Dietz and mine is a tax attorney, and I was trying to enlist his support for the animal law committee and section, and he said, well, I'll be happy to help you and Jennifer, Ralph, but I don't, you know anything about animal law. I don't practice animal law. And I said, well, are you sure you haven't had any cases that involved animals? And he stopped and thought about it, and he said, you know what? I was just working on a tax matter for someone in the context of a probate and will and estate planning, and they had an animal in it, and they asked me if I could make sure that the animal was provided for after their death. And I said, you're an animal lawyer. And
absolutely.
So it really does touch on a lot of different areas that people don't even realize.
Absolutely, and I'll come back to that topic in a moment when we return from the break. And so for folks who are listening, if you want to call in, we're at 718-766-4996. You can post your questions to our Facebook page at All My Children Wear Fur Coats, or you can find us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats, and we will be right back.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on Nature's Channel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Nature's Channel.fm. Amazing talk radio shows from gardening to animals, natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. Nature's Channel.fm. It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable, Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stall.
Serendipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Serendipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on natureschannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live and find archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on natureschannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on natureschannel.fm. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and today we have with us attorney and animal advocate Ralph DeMayo. Ralph's from Tallahassee, Florida. And before we went to break, we were talking about making sure that we had more than enough resources to plan for our pets. And as a horse lover, Ralph can certainly imagine and sympathize with folks who are planning for horses or even any pets as to the amount of money that we need to put aside to make sure that our pets are being taken care of. Welcome back, Ralph. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So you mentioned before we went to break about an organization that you, you're involved with, but you may have actually founded this organization called PetsAdLitem.com.
Yes, thank you very much. We're very blessed here in Tallahassee to have a lot of community support. Our city supports our local animal shelter, and there's many, many organizations here that care deeply about animals. I was the co-founder of the Animal Shelter Foundation, which supports the Tallahassee Animal Shelter. And out of that grew Pets Ad Litem, which is obviously a play on the guardian ad litem concept, because what we try to do is get involved and help out with animal welfare and animal rights type issues. And our slogan is providing a legal voice for animals. While we're Tallahassee-based, we do work statewide. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the projects that we're particularly proud of is our students' programs at law schools in Florida to allow them to get involved in animal law-related cases on a pro bono basis. And we've actually had over 100 law students in about five law schools working with us, and they get involved in actual cases. as well as do research.
And that's really exciting for the students, and to have this opportunity, and because they do have to do some pro bono hours, it's a great avenue for them to be able to do something they love while doing something that's also required. So we do have a caller, Ralph, so I'm going to have I'm going to open up the lines and take the question from our caller. So welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats. What's your question, please?
Hi, Peggy, and hi, Ralph. This is Greg Morton from up in Tallahassee. I was just wanting to call in because I know that Ralph may be too modest to mention this, but it's a great program you've had so far this morning. But Ralph, in addition to being heavily involved in the Animal Law Committee, was actually the winner of this year's Outstanding Lawyer Service Achievement Award that the committee gives out every year based on a kind of like a lifetime achievement award. And he was this year's recipient for all the things that he's done around the state with the Animal Law Committee and groups like Pets at Litem. So that's my comment. My question for you, Peggy, is, so this is the first time I've actually tuned into the show. How do I get to archives of your past episodes so that I can go back and listen to them?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks for calling in, Greg, and thank you for sharing that information about Ralph and his achievements, because he really has done so much for animal law in the state of Florida. These shows can be found at natureschannel.fm. They're all archived there. And then for folks that are listening live, they can listen through blogtalkradio.com and then later find those archived on natureschannel.fm. So thank you for your call, and thank you for mentioning Ralph's award here recently.
Thank you, Greg. By the way, Greg was the very first winner of that award a couple of years ago.
Okay, and Greg's still actively involved in the committee, and Greg, we're actually looking forward to having you on the show in the future and talking about some of the animal-related issues that you're passionate about as well.
Peggy, if I may take this opportunity, one of the things you and I were talking about is all the people that we've had the privilege of working with and in the animal law arena and through the Animal Law Committee, and I've been involved in Florida Bar committees and section activities for 30 years, and I really can honestly say, although there's wonderful people in all of those groups, this is a very special group of people that are involved and committed to animals and animal law in Florida, such as yourself and Greg, others that serve on the committee. I've mentioned Jennifer Dietz, Sarah Tate, Renee Thompson, Gil Panzer, who's our current chair, Alexandra Sikorska. These are folks from all over the state, and we're all volunteers. I think that's important for people to know. We do all of this in addition to our day jobs, so to speak. So I just wanted to take that opportunity to recognize all those people, and there's others.
Well, that was very kind of you, and thank you. And I know that one of the things that you can share with our listeners has to do with the animal law writing competition that is noted on the PetsAdLitem.com website. But tell us a little bit about that animal law writing competition.
Yes, thank you. We're actually very excited about that. PetsAdLitem, because of our commitment to humane education, established at the Florida State College of Law, the Animal Law Student Legal Writing Competition. We're in our third year now, and basically it's open to all law students who are either currently enrolled or have graduated within 1 year. And there's a $500 first prize award and a $100 second prize award. And we are encouraging law students to write on any subject relating to animal law. And we have a system to grade them anonymously, and we're very excited about it. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a terrific opportunity for students who are interested in animal law to participate and maybe even make a little money in the process. And
yeah.
I know when I was teaching animal law at Barry University College of Law that the end-of-year paper that my students were required to submit probably would have met the requirements for this particular writing competition, and so folks can really find a way to repurpose something that they're doing for one thing and then use it for something else and maybe even get this wonderful $500 first prize.
Yes, absolutely. May I mention also that, as I think you and I understand, how important law school training is for the future of our lawyers, and I'm very excited to see animal law really coming into its own in law school through Sal Diff, as we mentioned, but through a number of great professors. I know there are many. The ones that I've worked with closely include Patricia Matthews at Florida State College of Law, Professor Abate at FAMU College of Law, Professor Coleman at Nova Southeastern. I mentioned Jennifer. Jennifer Deeds teaches at Stetson, and I know you teach at some of the law schools, and it's just really great to see all these people stepping up and making a difference, because law students are being very, very responsive to the whole topic of animal law.
Well, I think everybody's looking for something that they can be truly passionate about, and it's not hard to be passionate about pets, especially if you're an animal lover. And I'm not sure how many pets you have at your house at the moment, Ralph, but I still have 3 horses, 7 dogs, and 2 cats at my house.
You've got me beat right now. But if I may mention another program of Pets Ad Litem that we're very proud of, and to our knowledge, it's the first one, possibly still the only one in the state. But as I mentioned, we have an excellent animal shelter program here with a lot of community support and support from the city. And we have great animal control officers. And Lieutenant Jeff Doyle approached Pets Ad Litem a few years ago and said, "You know how with traffic ticket you check a box and you could take a class and then you don't get points assigned? Why don't we do the same thing with animal ordinance citations?" So we created a class along with the city of Tallahassee called the Responsible Pet Ownership Class. And when someone receives an animal code violation citation, they can tell the clerk of court that they want to take the Responsible Pet Ownership Class. When they successfully complete that class, the penalties are waived and it does not go on their record. And we processed, I don't know how many violators over the last many years, and it's a great opportunity to teach them about proper animal care.
Oh, I think that's awesome. I had not heard of that program, but that's certainly something that would be worthwhile to implement on a statewide basis, so that when we do have people that are animal law ordinance violators, that they have this opportunity to learn something and then to go forward without a black mark on their record.
I agree. In fact, if anyone's interested who's listening, we're more than happy to share our experience. You know, the bottom line in but anything really in life and success in life, and I guess I'm sounding like a teacher again here, is education. And what we have found is, in most cases, even animal cruelty cases, a lot of it's rooted in ignorance. People just don't understand why they have to give proper shelter, proper food, proper water, why you shouldn't leave your dog in a hot car, why you shouldn't let your dog stand on the back of your carpenter box in your pickup truck. It's just a matter of not understanding what can happen to the animal. And so our commitment is to educate people on such issues.
Well, that's very admirable. And I think that there's still a lot of work that we can all do together to continue to educate people about responsible pet ownership. And certainly that's been one of my passions. Like you, even since I was a child, I've been writing and speaking and presenting on animal advocacy issues. So we're going to have to go to break, but I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats. You're listening to natureschannel.fm, and you can find us on Facebook at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. You can find us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats, and we would welcome you to call us, and we thank all of our callers, but you can call us at 718-766-4996. And we look forward to talking with you a little bit more when we come right back.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate, Peggy Hoyt. airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturechannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
naturechannel.fm. Amazing talk radio shows from gardening to animals, natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. naturechannel.fm. It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable, Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at naturechannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on naturechannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stalls. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Serendipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on naturechannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Serendipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on naturechannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live and find archives at naturechannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturechannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Hello, welcome back. It's Peggy Hoyt, your host of All My Children Wear Fur Coats. You're listening to the show of the same name, All My Children Wear Fur Coats, on naturechannel.fm. We're talking today with Ralph DeMeo, who is a lawyer and shareholder with Hopping Green and Sams PA in Tallahassee, Florida. Ralph is also a professor and teaches administrative law, and he's been sharing all kinds of things with us today, particularly about his organization, PetsAdLitem.com, their student law writing competition, and some of the things that they've been doing with their community, helping people become more responsible pet owners. Ralph, we only have a short time left, unfortunately, so can you tell us whether you have any personal heroes in animal law and who they are?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I mean, pretty much everybody I've mentioned today, including you, because we're the people on the ground that are making a difference. I mentioned the animal control officers, the veterinarians, Dr. Rachel Barton, the Tallahassee veterinarian who does tireless work at the animal shelter, all the vet techs. I mean, these are the people that make a difference, all the various organizations. We work collaboratively with everyone. And, you know, I've been a vegetarian my entire adult life and an animal advocate my entire adult life. And I truly believe, to kind of end on a spiritual note, that as it says in the Bible, we're the stewards of all life on earth, including animals. And I believe that that requires us to care for them. And that's why I admire people like yourself and others who do so.
Well, we will continue to keep up the good work, and I know you will too. And Ralph is such an example to so many folks who want to get involved with animals. You don't have to be a lawyer to be interested in animal law. There's certainly lots of ways that you can participate. There's lots of programs, whether it's through the Animal Legal Defense Fund, whether it's through Pets Ad Litem, Inc., whether it's through a local not-for-profit organization that supports your community. All you have to do is Google anything having to do with animals, and I'm sure you can find a tremendous number of opportunities within your own community. But definitely reach out to me, reach out to Ralph, reach out to the Pets Ad Litem organization, and I'm sure that we can find ways for people to get involved or things that you can do in your community to help people become more animal aware, to become more responsible overall as pet owners, and then really from my perspective in particular, making sure that we have plans for our pets, not just in the event of our disability or in the event of our death, but disaster plans as well, so that if we have a hurricane or if we have some event where we have to leave our homes and either take our pets with us or leave them behind for some reasons, that we have a plan for what we're going to do to make sure that our pets are cared for. Ralph, I can't thank you enough for being with us today. It really was special to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Well, you're welcome. And I would invite everyone to join us next week. We're here on Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is a live show, so you can call into the show with your questions at 718-766-4996. You can post your questions to our Facebook page at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. And you can follow us and interact with us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. If you want more information about the Pets Ad Litem program, you can find them at petsadlitem.com. And again, thank you, Ralph, and we're looking forward to talking to everyone next week, and have a great week. Friday is our Peace After Pet Loss program, so if you're listening and you want to join us, reach out to us and we'll get you the information related Peace After Pet Loss program. So looking forward to talking to you next week. Happy tails.
Thank you for joining us on All My Children Wear Fur Coats here on naturechannel.fm. All My Children Wear Fur Coats explores options and alternatives for creating a lasting legacy for your pet. Visit legacyforyourpet.com to join our email list for updates on shows, links to archives, information on complimentary pet planning workshops, and more. Be sure to tune in every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Happy tails! See you next week.